Welcome to the last talk of the day. I'm Simon. In the first part, I will give you some input. I will be talking very fast, probably. Apologies in advance already. And then afterwards, we'll probably have a little less than 10 minutes of questions. But I look super forward to hearing your thoughts and your comments and questions. The topic is the Hyper 8 video system, a project I've been working on since about late 2023. And in short, it's a system for video publishing on the web, and it's for almost everyone. I think it would be a bit unrealistic to say it's for everyone, but I'm doing my best. There are three main pillars to this project, and in going into these, I want to point out the stark differences to YouTube and the not quite so profound but still existing differences to PeerTube. The first point is independence. And yeah, basically Hyper 8 is a tool which allows you to generate video websites. They look quite like YouTube or PeerTube, but they're static. So by that technical trick, so to say, they're yours and they cannot be taken away from you. And you don't need big tech and platforms to publish them, obviously. But what is maybe a bit more surprising or a bit of a difference to PeerTube is that you are not ever dependent on community infrastructure either. Because in the end, it's just static file hosting, a very simple thing. You can, of course, still have community infrastructure around it. Go for it, very good. But you don't really need it. Then the second pillar is accessibility. So there is minimal technical know-how required to run this. And again, this goes back to the for almost everyone, like trying to get it as low as possible. And although not the primary meaning here, but also important to say, this also includes compliance with the web content accessibility guidelines, so that people can use these sites and screen readers and so on. And the third pillar is sustainability. So these sites, as soon as you have generated them, they are maintenance-free, they run by themselves. They are indestructible. We talked about this yesterday, I think. They are very cheap and easy to host, to move, and to archive. Little time involved, little money involved. And again, not the primary meaning here, but also lower emissions are a result of the whole design strategy I have here. We can talk about this later also. Yeah, and at this point, I want to switch right to a live demo. This will be a bit adventurous because I'm working on a screen over there, but we'll manage. So basically, to create a Hyper 8 site, all you need is an empty folder. So everything happens within a folder. The whole site is stored in there. So I'll create just that and call it my video. And then the next thing that is required is to go into it and then start Hyper 8. Right, and from that step on, we're in the browser. And basically, everything else can now be done in a graphical user interface. This goes all the way from uploading videos, creating a site structure, setting titles, description, and all that, up to deploying it, even. And for the demo, I want to start with a simple video. And I'm going to upload one video file here. And at that point, we can already preview the site. And as you can see, basically, you have everything that you really want, a video player where you can play back the video. And you can control the volume and the speed. And in the bottom right, also the resolution. If you have multiple versions, you can go full screen, you can copy link. So basically, all the basics you would expect of a video site. And to also, for those of you that are not familiar with static files, static websites, sorry, on the background, basically, in this folder that we just created, we can see that now we have the video file and the poster file and then a manifest. I'll go into that in a second. But basically, the outcome of this entire process is just these files. This is your website, and it can be dragged onto any cheap static file hoster, and that runs basically forever, unless we break the web. Then they won't work again. I hope we don't do that. Or if you don't pay the bills for your server, then it's also over. But besides that, it's really maintenance-free. Nothing can go wrong from that point on. Yeah, and these, okay, let's go switch back to the editor. So besides, I mean, this is also nice to have like a single video presentation, right? But usually you want more than them. And for this, there is a modular system in Hyper 8. So you can have either videos, playlists, or collections. I think playlist is pretty clear, so you can have a site that is just a playlist of videos, but you can also have a collection, and that is this modular building block system. So you can build arbitrarily complex hierarchies, nesting collections in collections in collections with as many playlists or videos as you want. So here, I'm just going to create a collection and then upload another video. And then in that collection still, I'm going to create a playlist. And in that playlist again, uploading at least one video. And let's preview that again. Yeah, and as you can see now, still pretty similar, but now we have two videos in the root level of that collection and one video in that playlist. You can also open that playlist. And again, you can go into all these pages and they look the same. Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. It's just like YouTube or PeerTube at that point, basically. But it's yours and can be taken away from you, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, to go back to the folder once more. So this is still the folder that we created earlier, that before empty folder. And now, as you can see, the contents of that reflect all the actions that we took in the editor. So basically, we have a folder here where the original video is in. We have a folder for the playlist, and that contains another folder for the video, and so on and so forth. I think you get the idea. And what you also notice is probably that in each of these folders, there's at least one file which has the ending eno. That's a simple structured data language. And you can open these. And in there, you can basically then do everything that you can do in the editor. So I just put a title in there, as you saw. And now if I go back into the editor and reload that collection, you can see that it updated the title of the collection from the file itself. So what it means is basically you can either have a workflow that is entirely graphical, doing everything in the editor, which is very beginner-friendly, or you can do everything just by creating folders, putting videos in there, nesting them, and then putting these manifests in there with all different options, which includes title, description, and all the options that you have also down there, these features that you can enable or not. Yeah, I think this is pretty well demonstrating what this thing is about. And at that point, let's hop back to the slides. So I want to quickly race through all the features that are there already, so we get an idea where are we at, and then also where is it going. So we got very recently support officially for subtitles. You can enable downloads if you want to. You can enable embeds so that you or other people can embed video players in their blogs, for instance. You also have platform integration. That means when people share your video page on social media, for instance, there are automatic link previews, or if you enable it, embedded video players directly in timelines. You can theme the whole thing, either choose dark light or adapting to the user preferences. And then again, you can choose between different color tones from cool to warm. I guess that will be expanded in the future. People can subscribe to your video site using Atom, Plain RSS, Podcast RSS, or Media RSS, not only to the site itself, but also to each specific playlist or subcollection on that site. You can, in the editor, resize and transcode videos, either just choose a resolution and hit render, or go into the details, frame rate, quality, etc. You can pick poster frames from the video or upload custom ones. You can preview the site, as we've seen. You can use built-in deployment via rsync. We'll come back to that in a minute. You can edit these manifests also directly in the graphical editor. You don't have to jump back to the text editor always. And yeah, as I already stated, everything that you do in the editor, you can also do without the GUI. Just in your file explorer, your text editor, your terminal, or you can script those workflows, of course. It's just creating folders, files, moving them around, etc. There's a full documentation website online where all these options that go in the manifests are documented, and also how the folder system works, like what is a video, what is a playlist, what is a collection, etc. This whole thing is supported cross-platform. I officially released for Windows, macOS, and Linux. And for Windows, there's even a graphical installer. So which features are coming this year still? Built-in FTP deployment is almost ready. I have one critical issue to fix, then I'll release it. As FTP deployment, I'd love to have that. Not sure if I can fit it into my current agenda time-wise. There will be some substantial design, layout, and accessibility improvements, such as, for instance, a proper playlist design. That's actually finished. I just didn't manage to wrap it up for the beta back then. And since then, it's been lying around like that. And then there's audio-only formats, which will get added. So if you use your site to publish, for instance, music playlists, you can give people the option to really only listen to the music and then only have to download the audio instead of having to download 1080p, 60 frames per second video that no one looks at anyway. Then searchable transcripts, I would really love to have that. Again, not sure if that will fit in time-wise. And the most important point maybe in this time frame at least is desktop integration for me. So you saw that we took a small detour into the terminal back then just to get the editor going. And in a few months, we'll have full desktop integration. So people can really install it and then click the icon on their desktop and then choose the folder and they're off in the editor, which has just its own window as well. Okay, you might be wondering how is this funded? Since the start of 2025 until early 2026, I get funding from NetID, an Austrian program that supports open source development. Thank you so much for the support. Also allows me to be here and present to you, in fact. Earlier, for the first beta, there was support from the Federal Ministry, BMKS in Austria. Also, thanks so much. Also wouldn't have been possible without that. And yeah, for the questions, I want to leave you with two more closing notes or opening notes. One that is maybe very interesting is, who is this for? So here's a few ideas. If you just want something that works and keeps working, I think Hyper 8 is a brilliant choice. Publishing it should last for very long time frames. I think this is like probably the use case for Hyper 8 because everything else cannot really compete, I think, with static file hosting. Then on the other end of the spectrum, right, if you want to have one-off temporary video publications that you just put online and delete the next day, I think that's also very nice for that. I think it will appeal to functional and design minimalists. Just by the way, how I'm designing it, I don't really like bloat and super can-do-everything interfaces, so I'll probably stick to that somewhat. And then it's probably also cool for people who want to do everything themselves but don't really have the time for it. I think that helps also on that front. And then one last thing, how does this relate to, or as I would actually say, complement PeerTube? So a bit of a yin-yang thing here. I think PeerTube has a very optimistic approach. It's all about forming communities, also scaling a bit, and a lot about engagement, being able to comment and all that. I think it's great for people who love exciting things too, which is, I think, a majority in the population, I would argue. Hyper 8, on the other hand, has more of a defensive approach, as you saw, technologically speaking. It focuses strongly on individual agency and on inner peace. That's, for me, very important. Just tech that works and it doesn't give me any headaches. And yeah, I think it's for people who love boring things. I think boring things are really exciting, so that's why I work on this. Yeah, at this point, you can already get your comments and questions ready. We probably have around 5 minutes then. But not yet, because another big thank you to the community also. There's already dozens of people using Hyper 8, sending me bug reports, valuable feedback, feature suggestions, and just motivational messages and all that. It's super great. Thank you so much. And yeah, at this point, I'm opening the mic to you. Please ask away, and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. I love it. I have to ask a question that's maybe the most asked question, but I have to ask it. How does incremental file transfer work for static video files, for skipping forward longer videos that then preload at a later point in the video?
Yeah. At this point, it's just using the browser magic that there is. So basically, if the video files contain some markers that inform the browser how to jump forward, they basically use that. Let me know if I'm digressing from what you actually asked. But this is about as optimized as it gets, right? There's no backend or anything like that.
So the whole file needs to be loaded in one piece because, like, a server component is required that the browser can talk to load a later part of a video, of a longer video.
Yeah, so it depends on the metadata in the file. If the junk that informs the browser which is where lies at the start, then it can download only the first few bytes and get that information. And then it can do actually somewhat efficient loading to also jump to places in the video.
So the web servers already support that somehow? Like
It's entirely a client thing.
Partial?
Partial content,
that's a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
A little bit similar to that question, did you decide it deliberately to not support HLS? So like where you split up your video in smaller chunks where you can cover multiple bandwidth mm-hmm. and resolution and so on?
Yeah, to maybe cover the whole topic. I think right now my strategy was just to get something out there that's working. And that basically requires just skipping all that stuff and saying, OK, what is the best that the browser gives me? And this is what you see right now. I think it gets us a long way already. It's, of course, not as optimized as all the magic that PeerTube does, also with the peer-based sort of downloading on the fly. And I think in the long run, like whatever is possible with static file technology, I'd be happy to integrate at some point, yeah. But at this point, it's just pragmatic, yeah. Just work with what we have.
Is there a way to deploy, because right now you're running it on a desktop. It's sort of, the files and everything have to be local. But is there a way for, say, an organization to have the component hosted on a server so that I can then, mm-hmm. you know, send the... Everybody can use the same upload link, and
yeah. It is implemented as that. Yeah, it's a server, and I'm just connecting to that, so it's absolutely doable. I would just not expose it to the internet right now because really bad things will happen.
Hi. So circa 2011, so almost 15 years ago. We were starting to use the HTML5 video tag, and there was this big movement for self-hosting and open video publications. And I remember I went to a conference called the Open Video Conference, organized by the Participatory Culture Foundation, the organization that developed the Miro player. So there was this big push for getting independence from the big players like YouTube. And ironically, the video of the conversation about this matter was self-hosted and it's not available anymore. It died. We lost it. Yeah. So what are your thoughts about the independence of the publisher from big platforms versus the long-term guarantees that the content will be available?
Yeah. I'd say it's a bit pick your poison in a way. Like, there's of course problems on both ends, and it depends a bit, I guess, who publishes then and what kind of approach they have in life and in professional life, like to these things. I have another project also, which is also about static file hosting for music in that case. And so far, I'm actually surprised how many sites are still online. I mean, it's a rather young project, but still, like lots of people who just test drive it and. Most of it is still online, so I don't know. It's there's no easy answer to it. There's. No.
Thank you. I believe you were running out of time again. Is there any last question? Okay, one last.
Yeah. We got 1 minute, so.
Is there a cool story behind the name?
Yeah, I mean, do you have any association? What do you think about when you hear Hyper 8?
I think of 8-track.
Oh, okay,
Super
interesting.
8?
Yeah, Super 8, yeah. It's a reference to Super 8. Just there's kind of this, it's not a myth probably, it's probably reality. That was just something that was like very approachable by people that they can use. It's still very cool and also very culturally loaded in a way. I think, yeah, that's that.
Cool, then thanks. Thanks for the talk.